This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'd like to welcome in my co-host, the
little
big
man, John. What's happening, Jimbo?
Yeah, it's a great weekend of baseball. Wow, some amazing stuff happened. I mean, just, it's getting competitive.
Nah, I was like half right on my picks.
Well, I was half right, too. That means we, but see, like I told you, when we do those types of bets, everybody wins. We're going to eat lunch and go to a strip club. I mean, how do you lose?
You can't lose on that. But you know what? My team did score a lot of runs. I said Colorado was going to put it to Chicago. But you know what? Chicago in the middle series there, the middle game, they kind of opened up.
But I think
too.
You made that call right, as they walked into Colorado, the big dog, and they got
I'm
it handed to
them. I'm not seeing Colorado intimidated by anyone, man.
Well, are they intimidated by anybody when you show up there? Probably not, right?
Nah, but they'll play with anyone anywhere as well.
Well, we're going to get to that and much, much more. But before we do, let's make sure you guys can find out all you need to know about the Bleacher Bums. Of course, I've introduced you to one half of the team here. That's Jono, and I'm Jimbo, and we are the Bleacher Bums. You can find us at bleacherbumspodcast.com. Really love all the engagement on Twitter. We're at Bums Podcast. That's really where we find out what's going on with all the backstories that you guys want to talk about in baseball. So make sure you follow us at Bums Podcast. We'll be following you back because we want to know what you want to talk about. And we're over 2,000 followers, so thank you so much for everybody out there. Facebook, of course, is a great avenue. You're not limited by the characters. Love all the videos and the great things going on throughout baseball. Sometimes the bad stuff going on in baseball. But Facebook.com/BleacherBumsPodcast is where you'll find us. And, of course, we love the emails. The big guy here loves the emails. info@bleacherbumspodcast.com. It's a great, great way for us to communicate. And we talk about them on the air, some of the great emails that come in. And, of course, the best way to stay up to what we're doing, though, is to subscribe to the show. It's simply done. It's free. Just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. Just click the subscribe button, and, of course, you can leave us a rating and a review. If you want to leave me a 5-star and Jono a 3-star, that's okay. We can leave
or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
And, folks, once you get done with our show, there's so many more different shows out there, Jimbo.
Hey, what are we up to now? Like 1,000?
I don't know. We got like over 40, 50 shows in lineupmedia.fm, my friends. You got over 40, 50 shows. Like I said, I got one coming out right now. That
well,
I'm
football
really
season's here.
Yeah,
right?
I'm so pumped up about it. I got my man, Steve-O. He's going to be my partner in this. We had one show already. And you know what? We kind of communicate between the days to see how things are going. It's a great show, my friends. If you're up for some cowboy football, got to check out our show, cowboypodcast.com. And you got a lot more different shows out there. Lineupmedia.fm, my friends. All the shows that you're looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, it's a isn't it a small world? Like, Steve is such a Cowboy fan, right? I mean, he's so passionate.
He's
right?
Unbelievable because, you know what? I thought I had a man cave.
Yeah.
Until he showed me his phone pics of his man cave.
Well, let me tell you about the other half of his man cave, and I want to make sure we're talking about the guy's basement and not something else, right?
Yeah, Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Come on, okay.
What the hell does it matter?
All right,
you?
But the other half of his man cave is dedicated to one of the all-time Cardinal greats, Ozzie Smith. So I went out and kind of stole your guy a little bit there, and he's going to start a Cardinal show with me. What do you think about that?
You're kidding.
No, we're going to do a Cardinal show. It's about time a couple of fans did a podcast to tell you what's really going on with Cardinal baseball. So I got him, and I got another surprise guy that's going to, going to help me blow this show out of the water. What do you think of that?
I've been standing on corners trying to get a Cincinnati Reds partner with me. I haven't found anyone.
Well, hey, good luck with that.
Yeah, I had to go to this some homeless shelter to find stuff. But in any case, my friends, if you're looking to buy anything on Amazon, go to our podcast. What's our podcast?
BleacherBumsPodcast.com.
And then scroll down to the right-hand side of the middle of the page, and you'll see Amazon. Click on Amazon, and then just shop away. You know what? You can buy whatever the hell you're looking for, actually.
A Reds jersey, if you're that one guy out there that's looking for one?
Yeah. You could buy tees for golf. It doesn't matter. We get a little love back. That's Amazon. But go through our site first.
At BleacherBumsPodcast.com.
And shop away, and we get a little love back.
That one Reds fan, or as The Rock says, the millions.
The millions.
And the millions.
Well, you got it.
Cardinal fans that are out there.
He never said that. He never said that.
Well, he says
let's
The
Rock just move
fans,
on here. I'm tired of your Cardinal crap.
All right. Well, hey, so you brought it up at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So we were both 1-1. And like I said, anytime you go to the strip club for lunch, everybody wins. If you're at a baseball game in the bleachers, having a cold one, having a dog, watching a game, you win. Or if you have lunch at a strip club, you win. How do you lose, right? But, you know, I was shocked. I got to be honest. I got Cleveland by default, but I really thought Toronto would handle their business. Unbelievable.
I really thought Allen would get lit up at the end. I just knew that he was going to be the meltdown for Cleveland. It didn't happen.
Well, this is why these guys get paid big dollars. But when they got Andrew Miller, I would have never in a million years believed Allen was going to stay in that role. But these guys sometimes
did you
know
watch
what they're doing.
Did you watch that game? One of their games, Encarnacion's up to bat,
right?
And the pitcher, he's like moving back and forth. He's not set, and they call the balk, but. The home plate umpire, he's got the
take. He's got time.
Yeah, he's got time. And then the third base guy calls a balk, and they bring the guy home, and the place went crazy. The home plate ump had to restore order and say, "Hey, I had." But he let the guy go in home, and then all hell broke loose. It's something you have to see, man. But. These umps are getting a lot of free passes now due to this instant replay. A lot of this is off the hook on them now.
Well, again, you know my stance on instant replay. I think it's ruining the game. I can't stand. I understand that it's hard to argue against somebody when they say, "Don't you want to get the call right?" Well, of course I want
the right call.
I don't want to ruin the game over it. I want to keep the human element.
I don't even know why the hell we're going to need them in 5-10 years. Why don't we just have a computer with a box there? That's what we're seeing right now anyway.
Well, because they want those guys out there because they've always been there. But what I'm going to tell you is, again, I'm back to this. I'm a traditionalist. I don't want them. I don't want replay at all. But if we're going to have it and it's not going to go away, I want it like football. I want it like football. If you want to argue the call, okay, you got like 10 seconds to throw your flag. If you're so confident that it was wrong to your eye versus the eye of the guy that's 5 feet from the play, throw the damn thing. Quit calling up. We're not reviewing two plays a game. We're reviewing 60 plays a game.
I got that, but it's so easy for the catcher then just to walk out to the pitcher mound and get a little extra time.
It's very simple. As soon as the play is dead – They always call it. They're always ready. You got 10 seconds.
And who really wants to speed up the game?
I have no idea why we're speeding up something I love.
I mean, honest to God, this is going to affect the guys that are the green seat people that are eating, drinking.
Here's what I know about you, pal. No offense.
Tell me what you know.
When
about
you
me.
Go to a Cardinal game, you're trying to get away from the old lady. You're not trying to get home earlier.
I'm telling you, that's the way I see it too. I could drink. Our GM gets these great tickets for us. I want to eat and drink.
Well, I can tell you
next
what
next thing
is.
You know, she's coming up to me saying last call, and I just got here. I just got here. For love of God, right, don't pull the plug yet.
But I'll tell you what, it's because they're trying to cater to these kids that want to hang out on their phones all day, and they don't have 3 hours to give us for a baseball game.
Look,
that's
man,
what it is.
That's the one thing about baseball that I love the most. There's no time. There's no time.
I agree.
Is on my side.
I agree.
Mick said.
Well, it's not on his side much longer. Have you seen those guys lately? They're struggling.
Oh man.
Anyway, such a great weekend of baseball. Hey, how about one of the series we talked about as it would play a pivotal role in the wild card race?
Pivotal role, he says.
Okay, Pittsburgh, and Miami. Miami loses Stanton, but then what? They swept them.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Pittsburgh, every time they surge, they come back down to reality. And then the Cardinals, who haven't handled their business lately, go out and handle their business. Wow, they're on a roll, bud.
A little prop goes to my team, too. No, the Reds. The Reds. The Reds. I mean, they got the second best record since All-Star break.
Well, Joey Votto.
They're being competitive. Well, that's a competitive division.
I would agree.
And no one's just going to go in there and beat up on anyone.
I understand. The problem with that call, though, is the one guy leading that parade, walking down the street, leading the parade, you know the guy.
He's been playing really well. Okay, he's been playing really well. I don't want to hear from you.
You're tired of Joey Votto. You're mad they gave him $200 million.
I brought the jersey back out.
But this guy's at the Thanksgiving parade.
He's shaking the whole table here. He's doing some obscene gestures.
No, that's the thing they hold when they lead the parade. That's what Votto's doing.
Oh, I thought you were doing something.
No, I'm not doing anything. No, I don't.
I don't tell you.
It's amazing, though, but I am totally convinced that I was wrong. Now, see, that's why I'm willing to not say, okay, I want replay gone today because I might be wrong because I was wrong about the wild card. I didn't want the wild card, but it's done nothing but enhance the game of baseball. I mean, there are so many teams that are still in this. And if the 2006 Cardinals proved anything to anybody, you just got to get in.
And here's the thing that I still haven't adjusted to. Get in front of home plate. That's what it's all about. Block that home plate if you're a catcher.
Man.
You know what? That's baseball. That's old-time baseball there. That was Charlie Hustle. That was the days that you could block the home plate, run them over. That's what it was all about.
Hey, but if these rules were in place, and can you name the guy, the catcher? Can you name the catcher that Pete ran over? That guy might have still had a career in the All-Star game. Can you name that guy?
No.
I bet I know who could.
You got that? Hey, you know what? I like to bring up our guy, too.
Hey,
he's an old-time.
I know, and this is my secret weapon right here.
You brought him in for this, huh?
I thought he was going to come in here to check
out our show.
Hey, let me welcome into the show one of the all-time Cardinal fans, one of the all-time sports knowledge guys, and just a great human being, Fish. Fish, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks for bringing me on.
Hey, you know what? This was a perfect question. I looked right at you. I guarantee I'm willing to bet. Hang on, you want to take this bet?
I'm not going to bet. Yeah, then
I'll bet you anything.
I guarantee he can tell me.
He got no computer in front of him, nothing. Hey, his computer's right here. Okay, I'm pointing at my head. Okay. This guy can name who Pete Rose ran over in the All-Star game. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Who was it?
Ray Fosse.
See, he's got it.
It essentially ruined his career, and he was obviously an All-Star. Kind of a tidbit on that, the night before the All-Star game, Pete Rose and Ray Fosse had went out to dinner with their families.
No kidding.
Together?
Yes, together. The next night, Rose runs over Fosse. He continues to play some, but essentially ended his career.
You're kidding.
No kidding, man. That's an amazing thing. We didn't know that.
No, I did. And you know what's amazing? There's so many great backstories to baseball. I've attended two events now, okay, where Herzog and Dankinger are actually very, very good friends. They speak highly of one another. You know, you would think there'd be all this animosity there and things like this, but that's not the case.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing these backstories in baseball.
I want to go back to this. Okay. Fish. Do they still hang out? I mean, do they talk or?
Or did that ruin that front? Are there no more dinners?
I'm not quite sure about that, but I don't think they still hang out. Yeah. Even though Pete Rose does need some baseball friends.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Even if he's got baseball friends nowadays, I think these commissioners are staying put. And it's amazing, too, because what he achieved, man, you'll never see again. You'll never see again. You've seen Ichiro really, really working hard to get his 3,000 hit
okay,
there.
Okay, but that's a great point, though, because I think there's some great, and this would be some stuff I guarantee.
That's never going to be broke.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You say that, and I'm going to bring this up because I guarantee you this guy sitting to our right is a great guy to bring in on this conversation. You say never. Like, I think, and I would be curious to know Fish's thoughts on this and your thoughts on this, Jono, what you think the one big-time record is that'll never get broke in the game of baseball.
I think that's
it. You think it's a hit record, right?
Because of one thing that I'll add to that is you got specialty pitchers now that come in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Okay. You didn't have that back then.
Okay.
So you had one pitcher going 7, 8, 9 innings all throughout his years of pitching.
Okay, so you say that you think nobody will ever break the hit record, is the amount of hits that Pete Rose has. Fish, you got one you think will never get broke?
Fernando Tatis, 2 grand slams in 1 inning. To hit 3 would be pretty difficult.
No, that's not sexy. We want like the DiMaggio
overall,
hitting streak.
The home run total. Yeah, something like that. Would you say that?
But you're right. If somebody hits 3 grand slams in an inning, somebody's getting fired.
What do you think, though?
What do you think?
You think that's
DiMaggio?
That's something.
Cal Ripken streak? What do you think?
No, I think this is it. I think he's going to agree with me.
Okay, well, let me tell you why I disagree with you.
Well, let's hear from him, for the love of God. I want to hear him tell me I agree with you on this one, Jono.
I don't think he agrees with you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a tough one, I think.
Because, Fish, you got all these specialty pitchers. You got the computer now. The manager now gets a piece of paper, goes, oh, this guy's a 2-for-8 against this guy. Let's bring him in. There's so many stats now that they look at to bring in this right-hander, this left-hander. They look for matchups. They didn't look for matchups back then. They just kept them in, and they kept pitching. That's what I'm saying. I think nowadays you're not going to see quality bats anymore. You're not going to see a 4,000. You're not going to. I think the 3,000 should be a landmark right there. That should be compelled to 4,000.
Okay, so here's why I think you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Can I tell you why I think you're? I didn't say you were wrong.
I just said I was wrong. Didn't you?
I said think. Did I say think?
I don't remember, but I will say this real quick. I do believe that Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak play will be tougher than Pete Rose's.
Okay, now that's a good one. That's a good one.
And I actually would agree with you. And let me tell you my theory on the hit thing. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So. Everybody's comparing Ichiro to Pete Rose because...
And you're not going to compare some guy in Japan or Yugoslavia had 2,000 hits Serbia.
No, I'm not.
All right, go ahead.
But what I am going to say is, and this is an if, I'm only using the... I don't like ifs. I'm only using if because in this instance, it's an example of somebody may come along. What if Ichiro would have played in the States when he was 18?
Well, again, you're seeing washed up ball players from the United States go to Japan and they're hitting 40 dingers.
I understand, but this guy came over here.
It's a whole different
ball game. No. Where I think you're off is, unlike that situation, this guy came over here and didn't take him a year to adjust. This guy come right over here and dominated.
Well, he dominated.
At the age of 27.
But again, he's coming from, it's like a horse running at Fairmount Park going to Churchill to race. You could have the best runner here at Fairmount Park, but once he gets to Churchill, he's an average horse again, you know?
I understand. I agree, but you're kind of contradicting your own point. This guy didn't do that.
I'm not contradicting anything. Pete Rose will outdo my Japanese guy.
This guy came from Fairmount and went to Churchill and dominated.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He didn't dominate. He was a good hitter. He's a good hitter, and people were impressed by
him. You think he's a good hitter, huh?
To the other side and walked
out. You think he's a good hitter, huh?
I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, how about this?
I'll go with Pete in the darkest alley any day.
I'm not saying Pete wasn't great.
He belongs in the Hall of Fame, too, folks. I hope you're listening to this, Commissioner.
Hey, so here, I'm going to give you some stats, all right, Mr. Fairmount to Churchill.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm going to give you Ichiro's stats in his first year and when he came over.
All right, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, played a full season.
Okay. Yeah.
He had 242 hits his first year.
I'll tell you why. We didn't have any info on him. We don't know what he's going to do. I mean, that's what happens. That's what happens when a brand new hitter gets up to the plate.
You didn't have any info on him?
No. Everything's about hitting info. You got to have the info. You got to have the paperwork.
That's what you're going to go with? You didn't have any info on him? Because then he proceeded to get 200 hits for like the next 10 or 12 seasons. So once they got the info on him, they really slowed him down.
And in one of those seasons, he broke George Sisler's all-time single-season record for hits in a season.
Yeah, he got 262, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the record was 258, maybe, or 7.
262 in his four. Hey,
I'll take Pete Rose any day. Pete Rose.
This guy was the MVP the first year he come over here.
Pete Rose.
Dude, this is a dicka. No, so listen, again, I'm not taking anything away from
That's
Pete.
What's so great about baseball, man. You can be so passionate about your sport and about the guy that you... I mean, I had Pete all over the wall. I had him one picture where he's in the air. He's in the air. And you see the in between
the ground,
the air.
And he's sliding head first. Yeah. I think everybody had that poster. It was right next to my Farrah Fawcett poster with her in front of the van with the hair kicked back.
Farrah Fawcett, you had Farrah Fawcett?
Everybody had that poster. I had the shirt and the poster.
I had Donna Dixon. She was blonde. I know who Donna.
She married Lonnie Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, I had her and Lonnie Anderson.
In the late 70s, early 80s, if you didn't have a picture or poster of Farrah Fawcett in your room, there's something wrong with
you. My parents didn't let me, man. I was a little kid.
You have it hidden in the closet?
I had something else hidden under the bed there. We had some books hid there.
That was good. So what's your thoughts on Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, Fish? You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, but I'm still kind of thinking about Farrah Fawcett. That's what I'm really thinking.
Hey, you've got the understanding of this show down perfect.
It bothers me a little bit that one day I'll take my 13-year-old boy to the Cooperstown and he'll say, Daddy, who's the all-time hit record guy? And I'll have to say, well, he's not in here. And it'll be, I think he should be just based on what he's done in his career. If you need to put an asterisk by his plaque and say he was a dirt ball, do that. But his stats alone and his effort, he should be a Hall of Fame.
You look at Ty Cobb. These guys were betting games. Everyone was betting games back then.
Well,
everyone was betting back then.
So here, I'm going to throw something at you, though. And again, I've said this 1,000 times about the steroid thing. It's been proven with the steroid thing. We are a forgiving society, right? Right? We're a forgiving society.
Yeah, and then
if
you know
Pete,
what?
If when this goes down, Pete Rose says, you know what, I screwed up, and he doesn't do the things he did, I think he is in. But he didn't do that. He lied about it for 15 years.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to people that know the record. The record's out there. I mean,
But it does matter. It obviously matters.
And he never bet against his team,
but
too.
But see, there's where I think you're misguided.
Are we sure about that?
No, it's positive. The guy said he had the black book out. He said that all the games
were... Yeah, so now we're going to believe the guy with the black book. How about that?
Well, he's the bookie.
Well, those guys are real trustworthy. So... But here's my thing.
Hey, there's two people I trust, God and my bookie.
Hey, at least you got them in order, okay?
Yeah,
at least
course.
You got them in order. Here's the thing I'm going to say to you, though. This is what the baseball people are going to tell you. There is a problem if you bet against or against your team as far as that's concerned. It also is not good when you do bet on your team because you may do some things that are detrimental to the long-term health of your team to try to win a baseball game. Here's my problem. It's the first. This is what the veteran guys will tell you, not me. I'm fucking beer league softball. Okay. The first thing you see is you cannot bet on baseball when you walk in the clubhouse.
I got it. But again, they did bet on baseball way back then with the Ty Cobbs, and the commissioner never touched Ty Cobb because he was the king.
Okay.
He was the king
back then.
I'm giving you all that. It's so hypocritical. Baseball is so hypocritical. You got Tony La Russa, like I keep bringing up to you. He gets in the Hall of Fame. He gets to be part of baseball management or part of the MLB. And this guy, I guarantee. I guarantee you've seen the steroids in the Oakland dugouts, okay?
I'm not going to deny or affirm that.
No, even their damn mascots look bigger than the average mascot.
I'll give you that. I understand it. We're going back to my point, and that is we are a forgiving...
It's a hypocritical league is what I'm saying. When this league was down in the 90s, who saved them? It was the Maguires. It was the Sammys. It was
Palmeiro.
Albert, what's...
Bell.
Bell, yeah. Yeah. It was these guys that, and they even brought the walls in and said, hey, we're not even going to look what you guys do in the dugout, but we need attendance back. Hit the damn balls out of the park.
Well, again, we're back to, I think, baseball, like here, who do you not hear about when it comes to this anymore? I haven't heard Andy Pettit's name related to a PED.
Ken Griffey Jr.
I'm talking about a guy that failed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Andy Pettit failed, and he come right out of it and said, yep. I did it. I screwed up. And he even tried to come clean and said, hey, you know, and again, I'm not God, so I'm not here to say what went on behind closed doors, but even, you know, he even said, hey, yeah, there's the other guys, it's wrong. We screwed up. So you don't hear about it anymore. What you hear about are the guys that sit there and look at the camera. I never did steroids. You've got to think about what you say because then we find out 6 months later you absolutely did them.
No,
and you're a liar.
We
don't like liars.
I think if you're more popular than the other player,
Palmeiro was a pretty popular guy.
Not as popular as Sosa and Maguire at the time, and you never hear about him anymore. Palmeiro.
Sure you do.
Not as much as Maguire.
This guy's living in a shoebox somewhere, I think. Last I checked.
Really?
No, I'm joking. I did read an article. He tries to watch his kid play high school baseball. He's embarrassed. It's a bad deal.
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't take it like that.
I'm just telling you.
Really. Right now, if you get caught with steroids, guess what? You're 70, 80 games resting the body.
Point.
Then you're right back at it again. Gordon's been, he came up to the plate and everyone.
It's not the steroids. That's not what I'm talking about. D. Gordon, right away, sat down and said, I did it. I'm sorry. I've let down everybody. It won't happen again. Guess what? You look at the camera in front of Congress, in front of the whole world, and say, I never did steroids.
There's so much going on in this world, and you got these ball players right in front of a panel where you could be talking about why we did this, why we did that, why did we go into Iraq, and you got these four or five guys at a Salem witch trial.
Turn.
I'm telling you, it's horrible to me.
I'm not debating the importance of it versus something else. That's not what I'm doing. The whole thing is stemming from, as I mentioned with Pete Rose, if he stands in front of a camera and says, I'm sorry, I screwed up.
Really, that's going to do it, huh? Now knowing this, you think this. Of course, you're going to say that. Well, at the time, I guarantee you, he was advised, don't say anything.
No. There's a big difference between.
He got some bad advice, because I agree with Jimmy that it may not work now, but had he said then, hey, look, I got a problem. Like, we all have some problems. I got an addiction to gambling. Went and sought help for that problem and apologized to the public right away. It would have worked out a lot better. Now, I've read 3 different Pete Rose books, and one of them he had a hand in writing on, and he was lying about it then. Now, when the 3rd one comes out, now he's admitting everything. It's a tougher sell. I think McGuire took a beating over because he did that. I'm not here to talk about steroids. In my mind, McGuire lost a lot of.
Do these guys get in after, like, 3rd, 4th, what?
No.
Do they get in?
I'm more.
Does A-Rod get in?
No. I'm more interested to see if they get in when they go to the committee.
They're going
to
build a monument about A-Rod in front of the New York Stadium now. A new monument. This has got to pass, my friend. The records these guys broke, I don't care. They did break them, and we did applaud, and we did love these guys.
The voting don't look good. The voting for all these guys that have been accused is low.
Bagwell can't even get in. The guy never failed anything. He just got, like, there's just rumors and whispers. So if a guy can't get in and he never even failed the test because everybody thinks they know.
Okay, then what about Jose Canseco?
He's not getting in.
Well, hold up, though. He fits in that mold. He told everybody, everybody's taking steroids.
Well, he wound up being the smartest guy in the room.
Okay, then why did we not care about this guy and say, okay, you know, we've forgiven you?
I mean, listen, back to your Pete Rose thing. People don't like him because he's an asshole.
Oh, so basically you don't like him because he's an asshole.
He was about this.
Well, Canseco wasn't a stellar citizen either.
I didn't know I was walking around with my Jose Canseco shirt on.
No, but I'm saying to you, if you admit to something, okay, then you're saying you should be rewarded.
It's one thing.
He admitted it. He told everybody that everyone's taking steroids. I took steroids. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let me expand on the Pete Rose thing. All right. Not only did he not admit it right away, to Fish's point, he went out and defiantly lied for, God, the better part of 20 years now. 15
because
years.
You were under,
no,
under,
no,
under everybody's watch there. I mean, you
so
had that.
So you're saying it's okay to lie if everybody's watching you.
You know what? In his mind, it was like, I didn't hurt anybody.
Then he should have come out and said that. He should have said, you know what? I bet on baseball. I never bet against the Reds. If I understand betting on baseball is wrong, I didn't see anything wrong with it. I would have appreciated that more than defiantly lying to me. And
I just don't know what the MLB wants from the players. They had Dwight Gooden. He did 5 times. He got busted for coke, and he was still out there pitching. All right. So I just don't know what you say is priority and what is not priority.
Well,
I mean, look at it the same way then.
Well,
look at everything the same way. Grade it the same.
I'll give you a thought on that, and that is, you know, baseball went through a scandal in what year? I guarantee he knows it. What year did we have the Black Sox scandal?
Was it 1919?
Okay, so.
By the way, they were in court and they were found not guilty.
Well, not guilty of what?
Not guilty.
What were they found not guilty of, though?
Of not betting.
I don't think that's
throwing a game. That's what it was. It was about throwing a game.
They were found
not guilty.
I think they were legally found not guilty.
But the commissioner, he felt that he got screwed, so he banned them. But in the court, they won. Just want to throw that out there.
I'd like to do some research on that because I'd like to know what they were accused of.
Well, you could bring it up next time.
We will. But what I'm here to say to you, though, is this obviously was a scar on baseball, so they have to do something about it. Just like the steroid thing is. They realized they had a hole. Hang on. They did. They had a hole. Even though this was illegal, all these things were illegal, you know, either they didn't feel like it was their job or whatever. I can't even think of the year before steroids were even technically illegal in baseball. I don't think they were illegal till, like, it wasn't that long ago, like maybe 10 years ago.
Hey, look here. Look here. I want to see these guys hitting the ball as hard as they can, and I don't think that there should be any commissioner that defies what is done outside the law. Whatever the law is, that's what the – and you're seeing right now, you're seeing the same thing in the NFL. You got this commissioner right now who thinks he's above the law, okay? What do you mean you can't hit, you can't do this, you can't do that? It's all part of the game.
Well, what I would say to you on the other side of that, playing devil's advocate, is both the commissioner in baseball, the commissioner in football, they're not paid by you. They're not paid for you to be
No,
happy.
No, they like are a, paid
hang
by
on.
Me.
No, they're not.
They're He's paid by no, the masses
not.
Like me.
They're paid by the owners. Their sole purpose is to look out for what's good for their game, even if they don't like it. That's what I believe. Okay, the commissioner of baseball, the commissioner of football, sometimes has to do things that he may or may not agree with because...
Oh, he's a slimy guy.
I don't like
he's
him either. It's obviously a shady thing. That's not my point. But my point is everybody wants to bitch about Goodell. And they really... I mean, here's my thing. People thought Selig was horrible. And now he's going down as one of the best commissioners ever in a game of baseball.
I think
why?
he's made himself out like that.
But why? Because of the growth. Are you going to argue that the NFL hasn't grown under Roger Goodell?
That's not a purpose here. I'm talking to you right now. Braun, he mixes up the urine. But you know what? Your guy that's the best commissioner or whatever, he was from Milwaukee. He was the GM or owner or whatever he was at Milwaukee. So, of course, he's going to give a lot of leniency to Braun.
He didn't give any leniency to him. He was suspended
like
everybody
else. Are you kidding
me?
He should have been kicked out, and he should have went to jail too for putting a guy under the.
I agree with that.
That UPS driver or whatever.
That's a civil matter.
I mean, now that's a civil matter.
Of course it is. That's a personal thing that he did to somebody personally. That has nothing to do with baseball. Ryan Braun.
I guarantee if
Ryan Braun walked in here right now, I'd kick him square in the nuts.
Really?
I'd punch him right in the face. He's a horrible human being. Okay.
Well, I would
absolutely
agree.
A horrible human being. But my point, and then he would probably proceed to beat my ass. But my point
is. I'd land a shot in for you, buddy.
I know he would, too. But here's the thing. Baseball did to Ryan Braun what they do to everybody that gets caught. Okay, what he did was a civil matter to another human being. And the fact that either he got. Listen, I guarantee you this other cat got paid off. Because there's no way some guy that's got millions of dollars is ruining my life. And I'm not getting paid. I can guarantee
you
that.
You think he got paid off?
Oh, you never heard about it again.
No, you didn't hear about it.
No, this guy, I guarantee you that got settled out of court.
I wonder if it was powers to be that paid off the guy.
Well, no, it probably got settled out of court. Because if Ryan Braun has some good people around him, and he probably does, they probably said, listen, you got about $50 million in the bank. You need to give this guy a few. Because if he makes a big stink about it, we need this to go away pronto. Your baseball stuff's an issue. This is a bigger issue. Okay.
Yeah.
You basically tried to ruin a human being over something you
did.
But
my point was, Selig, I really think that he had something to do with that, too. It was the whole Milwaukee. My point is, man, it's who they love and who they want to see go down. That's what I really think, man. I really think guys like Barry Bonds, I thought he was a great player.
I don't know that anybody denies that.
No. I mean, I'd love to watch Barry Bonds right now if he went to bat for Marlins.
Because I
think he could still play.
Well, I think he's won some home run contests, they said, in batting practice with these guys.
Well, there you go. And now you're telling me that it's all about the juice.
Well, I think the great baseball people will tell you that it's not necessarily about the juice. It's about, you know, an even playing field. Again, we're back. We're going off on a whole other argument. The guys that have the biggest problem with the steroids are the guys in Major League Baseball that aren't doing them.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, there's a whole lot of guys over the years that have done it the right way, and they've watched these other guys cheat, quote-unquote cheat, and make millions of dollars while these guys struggle to hit 220 and stay healthy. So there's
we could go about this all day.
The bottom line is my disagreeing argument with you on the Pete Rose thing was very simple because – and again, this is all an if, but if Ichiro had come up at 20, 21 years old and had 200 hits a year.
That's not for sure. I'm not buying it.
I didn't say he would. I said there's a chance. This is a discussion about whether or not it could happen.
Didn't happen, though.
Well, I understand it, but to think that there's not some kid in a backyard hitting balls off a cone, hitting balls off a tee.
Or some Asian reporter saying that our guy could have done it? No.
No,
he couldn't have done it.
That's not my point.
Pete Rose is the man.
There is some kid in Cuba or in California or in Japan or in Canada.
Looking up to Pete Rose.
There's some 10-year-old kid somewhere, bigger and stronger and more athletic than everybody, that may come up into the big leagues when he's 19 like Griffey and stay healthy and might average 200-something hits a year for 15 years, and all of a sudden we got a new hit king. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's good to know, because I'll tell you this right now, Fish, when he's got his kid playing, he's gonna say one day, man,
you're hitting like Pete Rose. He's not going to say one time you're an Ichiro hitter.
Well, you know what?
Americana is all about here, my friends.
I guarantee you what Fish would tell you is if his kid turned out to be as good as Ichiro, he'd probably be okay with that too.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm definitely saying that everyone would say Pete Rose. That's the name that's not going to go away.
Well, no, Pete Rose's name ain't going away. I will give you that.
Hey, if he turned out to be as good as Ichiro, I'd be happy, but I would still nickname him Charlie Hustle.
One of the greatest nicknames in baseball.
There you go. There
Do you think go. It's the nickname? Is that the number one?
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, you know what? When I first met, one of my great Fish stories is when I first met him, one of the first stories I ever heard him tell was he's a reader. This guy's a reader, okay? And he's a Whitey Herzog fan. And I think, was it Whitey Herzog's book where Don Drysdale tells the story about the nickname? Do you remember that story? You tell this all the time. It's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. He said, and I just meet him, right? And he's a passionate baseball guy, and he's friends with some friends of mine, so I just meet him. And he's standing around telling a story, and he says, hey, we went to the World Series together, which I'm going to tell you another good Fish story. So Fish tells me, he says, hey, we were talking about nicknames, and he says, I read Whitey Herzog's book, and Don Drysdale's in the book. And I guess, and I don't remember it 100%, but Whitey Herzog obviously had given somebody a nickname, and they went on to have a great career. I cannot remember who it was, and I'm hoping you remember this so that you can finish the details. But the bottom line was, Drysdale said, can you come up with a nickname for me? And Herzog said, well, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to come up with? He goes, I can tell you this. You can call me Don Pussyface Drysdale if it'll get me in the Hall of Fame. Or it was Don Sutton. Was it? It was one of those two guys. But the bottom line was, he said, you call me Pussyface if it'll get me in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
good stuff.
I tell you what, man. I've known Fish for a while too, and yeah, the guy
he's famous.
Yeah,
you know, and he's famous in Minnesota. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know he's famous in Minnesota. I didn't even think he left Illinois.
He's famous. I get two tickets to the World Series in 1987. I take Fish with me.
Okay? Yeah,
standing room only tickets.
Boy.
I got tickets with two other guys.
Making them cry.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, hang on. It's a great story. We get tickets. Two other guys sell them. This lady looks right at me and says, I'll give you $100 a piece for yours, too. Now, this is in 1987. I'm like 18, 19 years old. Okay.
You sold your tickets?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I did not. The other two guys did. So I take Fish. Fish was like, I'm so proud of you for not doing it. I said, you know what? I want you to go with me. So me and Fish go to the game. We take the bus over to St. Louis. Take the bus. Cardinals. They're down 0-2 now. This is the first game in St. Louis. This is game 3.
Right.
Okay. We're standing out there in the standing room section. Cardinals, they get their Cardinal game going. I remember there was a couple hits. The place is going crazy. The shirts are waving. It's white. We meet this old guy from Minnesota standing right next to us. He's an old guy. He's a reporter at a small paper in Minnesota.
Minnesota Star Tribune.
Oh, it was Minnesota. Okay. So he's standing next to us, and he loves Fish. Like, they're talking. They're telling. Like, Fish is telling him all he knows about Cardinal history. This guy just falls in love with him. And I mean to tell you, the place is going crazy, and Fish was I'm telling you, this is how the card, da-da-da. And this guy looks right at him and says, hey, I want to quote you in the paper tomorrow. What do you want to say? And Fish goes, here's what I'll tell you. We may not win this World Series, but you won't beat us one game here. And everybody knows that the Minnesota beat the Cardinals 4-3, but the Cardinals didn't lose one game at home. So he's famous in Minnesota.
I got lucky there, but it didn't work out that way. I said we won't lose one at home, and they won all three at home.
Hey.
That was a good Minnesota team.
Went back
team,
and lost
man.
Both in Minnesota.
Now Fish is just a few years older than me here now, but this is how, like, when you put your eggs in a certain basket and you trust somebody. So I ride this bus over with him to the World Series because he says, you don't want to drive over there. Let's take the bus. So we park our car and we take the bus.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we obviously had some cocktails and, you know, the World Series games take forever. It's 11 o'clock at night and I'm in downtown St. Louis. We got no way to get home.
Really?
And as fate would have it, we see an old friend of his, and we hop in the back of the truck, and on now it's 5:20 we go. And
so I guess Fish kind of paid that ticket off.
He sure did.
Hey, that's the love of baseball. We didn't even have a ride home.
We didn't even have a ride home. And it was one of the funnest evenings I've ever had. It was phenomenal.
That's great. I went to St. Louis one time right after the game. I'm really excited. I'm at the hotel where the Reds are as a little kid, and Tony Perez told me, hey, it's late. Why don't you go home? That's what he said to me. The only one that was nice to me was Gary Reedus and John Franco. I ate pizza with John Franco as a little kid. You know what? These ball players now, they gotta know that. They got to know that they're not above the game. You know, stuff like that stays in a kid forever. I know that day, John Franco was my world right there.
Was that your first interaction with a professional athlete?
Yeah.
Or do you remember?
Well, no, the first interaction was with Dave Parker. He got into a car, And I go, "Hey, Cobra." He just waved at me and smiled and gave a little, gave me the gun with the fingers, you know, and then a wink and went in his car. He's unbelievable.
Now, a little fun fact for everybody is that you fashion yourself under the name Cobra. Is that why?
Well, you know, and I played a little football there.
They called you Cobra?
I had the masses of 15,000 people would start going
chanting Cobra.
I know. Maybe two people.
Now, there's a rumor going around that you asked for that nickname. It wasn't given to you. Is this true or not?
Why don't we just move on here, Jimbo?
Fish, you remember your first interaction with an athlete?
Not really, but I remember trying to get Bruce Sutter's autograph once, waiting there where they come out. And
how was he?
He come out with a wig, and even though he had a beard on and
he had a wig?
Long hair, yeah, tried to disguise himself, but I mean, he still get this long hair anyway and a beard, and walk by everybody. Everybody knew it was him, but acted like he was fooling us. And I still love Bruce Sutter, but it bothered me. Man, he couldn't even give me an autograph.
He had a wig on?
He had a wig on.
Oh, my God.
You know, if you're I bet he's a stranger.
Now I bet that he would love to sign that autograph.
Oh, he'd be signing him right now, I guarantee
it. He doesn't need a wig now. I'm Bruce Sutter.
Have you ever listened to him talk when they do something? I bet he's a strange bird. I bet he was a strange bird, no doubt about it, for sure. No, it's that's amazing. Nope, good stuff.
Well, I tell you what, man, we're gonna have a lot of stuff this coming week. Thursday, Friday edition.
I'm hoping that
picks.
It'd be nice to get some.
You're right about Toronto, man. They moved back in the first place, they moved up the first place.
It's amazing. We had all but written them off about 2 months ago, and here they are back in it.
Toronto's in first.
And again,
Cleveland held par.
Love to admit when I'm wrong. I thought this wild card was a bunch of crap, but it has made the game interesting. You got any thoughts on the wild card, Fish?
Yeah, I like it. Just like you said, 2006 Cardinals ought to explain that.
You guys only like the wild card because now you're battling for a wild card.
Well, no, that's not my point.
If you were in first place, you wouldn't even give a rat's ass about your wild card.
No.
I know. You know what? You Cardinal people are just outrageously idiots to me.
Well, I might be a village idiot. I agree. I'll give you that. But the reality of it is this is a total non-Cardinal opinion. I am saying I did not like the wild card.
Because you've always been in first place.
Even when the Cardinals got in that way, I was like, that's horseshit. But the reality of it is, as a grown-up that understands the excitement level, it has enhanced baseball. You can't argue that. There are more teams out there that are
still enhanced it because now you're fighting for it. You've got a little love for it now.
This is a baseball thing, okay?
Yeah,
because all you have to do. Because
when I loved it, it was when my Reds were trying to get the wild card.
But
if they had about 15 more, the Reds might get one.
You prick, you. Let me explain this to you. Telling you, we've got the second best record in baseball since the All-Star break, and that sets up for the young team getting in. For next year.
Well, it's a shame that they don't wrap the show up
before you guys start ripping on my Reds.
I'm going to give you my example why the wild card's good. You got two. You got obviously a great baseball market in St. Louis, a growing baseball market, which one of the nicest stadiums in the league in Pittsburgh. If there's no wild card, these teams aren't even. You're not even in a discussion. They're 12 and 15 games out respectively.
But there's
a chance. Same thing in New York. Okay. Same thing with your Giants, who you say are going to win the World Series. Same thing.
Hey, folks, if you want to drop an email, someone get on my side, will you?
Someone get on my side.
I'm getting a gang.
I know you are.
Here,
I know it always happens.
I'm in St. Louis, but any Cincinnati Reds fans out there want to chime in, please email us at
info@bleacherbumspodcast.com. Make sure you bring them in. Hey, guys, I love all the emails. Everybody loves me. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they love you. All right.
Yeah, they love me. I love it.
All right, my friends from Jono.
And Jimbo. And hey, Fish, thanks for joining
us
this
week. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Hey, and this show I know is going to be great, and I will listen to it for sure. You got Steve on the show, too?
Yeah.
Steve-O Fish? Oh, Jesus Christ. You got my Steve-O. You recruited my Steve-O, huh?
He's as big a Cardinal fan as he is a Cowboy fan. Probably a bigger Cardinal fan, I got to be honest.
I'll find out. I'll be listening in. He better come up with
a Reds
the Cowboy
fan. You're
show.
You're going to listen to our show. God love you. I tell you, you're a good guy. Great guy.
I will listen. You guys are part of lineupmedia.fm. How can I not listen
to it? Good stuff.
All right, my friends.
Hey, we'll see you at the game. Take care.
See ya.
Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.